Psalm 119, verses 17 through 24. This is section Gimel. Deal bountifully with your servant that I may live and keep your word. Open my eyes that I may see wondrous things from your law. I am a stranger in the earth. Do not hide your commandments from me. My soul breaks with longing for your judgments at all times. You rebuke the proud, the cursed who stray from your commandments. Remove from me reproach and contempt, for I have kept your testimonies. Princes also sit and speak against me, but your servant meditates on your statutes. Your testimonies also are my delight and my counselors. Children, you have been hearing me say that this is a kind of an alphabetical psalm. And so we had the first section with the letter that corresponds to our A, and then the second letter that starts like we do B, but then we have this one called Gimel. It's got a G sound, to what we would call a G sound. What's the matter with these Hebrews? Well, nothing's the matter with them. Actually, we're out of step with them because their alphabet is older than our Latin alphabet, which is what we use. And why the Latins changed the order, I don't know. But the Greeks had a similar thing. Alpha, beta, gamma, A, B, G. So in these languages in which the Bible was originally written, well, there are actually three: Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek. We could say that just learning the very start of things is not learning your ABCs, but your ABGs. I just thought you children would be interested in that. Well, in portion Gimel there, which is very similar to the Hebrew word for a camel, and actually we borrow the word camel from Arabic, which is related to Hebrew, and you can hear how Gimel and camel sound kind of similar even in our English. This section here at Gimel is appealing to God with a new heart in all circumstances. The psalmist here cries out to God to give in grace what he needs through his word. He has no ability of himself to get any blessing, to earn any blessing, really to be rewarded with any blessing. He starts out there in verse 17, deal bountifully with your servant. That means, children, give generously. Give generously with your servant. And how might he mean that? With lots of money, lots of food, lots of new clothes? We might think that. But that's not what the psalmist is meaning. The psalmist is meaning, deal bountifully with me in your goodness, in your kindness, in your grace, in your mercy, in your love. Deal bountifully with me in that way. And why does he want this? So that he may live and keep God's word. You see, all too often we want things for ourselves so that our life can be more comfortable, more fun, more powerful, more whatever. But the attitude that God has put into the psalmist's heart is a desire for God, and a desire for God's goodness, and a desire for God's glory that comes through a desire for more of God's word. And this is why he wants God to deal with him bountifully, that he may know God's word better, that he may know the word's God, the God of the word, better and better. This is how it goes right along with verse 18. You'd think if a person had perfectly working eyes, which the psalmist has, I mean, you can't write blindly, can you? Not usually. He's got perfectly working eyes, but he says, open my eyes that I may see wondrous things from your law. You see, our physical eyes may work perfectly fine, and our brains work well too. But if we don't have the nude minds, And if we don't have changed hearts that can receive spiritual truths, we cannot heed when the word is preached to us. And we cannot perceive when we read the word of God either. It is spiritual eyes that are being talked about here, and we can't open them ourselves. Naturally, we're blind. But we appeal to the one, or I should say the psalmist does, he appeals to the one to whom he's already appealed. Deal bountifully with me, because I'm bankrupt. And open my eyes, because spiritually speaking, left to myself, I'm blind. Open my eyes that I may see wondrous things from your law. I wonder how often we see wondrous things out of God's law, out of God's word in general when we read it. Is it something that we just kind of, automatically do? Well, it's time for me to do my Bible reading. Let's look this up in the chart, what I'm supposed to read. Okay, I'm done. Check that one off. Or do we see wondrous things in God's law? If you don't very often, let me ask, how often do you pray that God would open your eyes? How many times have you breathed out a prayer so someone could hear it, or even just in your own heart and mind, along this line? Open thou mine eyes that I may see wonderful things out of thy law. Try it. You might find it helpful. Now, in the difficulty that he has with things around him, because he is transformed and he is not like earthlings, he is not like people of the world, he is now a citizen of heaven because of the changed heart that he has, the psalmist says, I'm a stranger in the earth. Do not hide your commandments from me. I used to know how to walk and work in the world. But now I'm not of the world anymore because of your change upon me, God. So direct me in the way I should go. It goes right along with the open eyes, doesn't it? And then in verse 20, the psalmist says, my soul breaks with longing for your judgments at all time. This is that renewed heart. The one that has been dealt with bountifully. The one that's been given open eyes. The one that's been given direction in his word longs for it more and more. It's kind of like an addiction, but a good one. A good one. The more we love God's word, the more we want of it. And the more we have, the more we love God's word, the more we want to be in line with it. Now, not everyone's that way, as we see in verse 21. God rebukes the proud. The cursed, who stray from your commandments. They're totally different from the believer who wants to be in line with them. Unbelievers, they're proud. They think they know best what they should be thinking, what they should be saying, what they should be doing, or not thinking, not saying, not doing. And so they go off in their own way. They're under a curse. If God does not bring them to repentance, they shall keep on going in a way that leads to destruction. They stray from the commandments. Sadly, the believer bumps into people like this sometimes, even in high places. Perhaps it's more common in high places. So he says in verse 22, remove from me reproach and contempt. That's what unbelievers try to bring all the time upon believers. For I have kept your testimony. Princes also sit and speak against me. We would assume because the believer is not obeying the word of the prince instead of going with the word of God. Princes sit also and speak against me, but your servant meditates on your statutes. You see, he cares not for the laws and statutes of the world. They be in conflict with the word of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And then we return again to a heart that has been dealt with bountifully, spiritual eyes that are open, a one who is led along and who longs for God's word and judgments at all times. In the midst of oppression, perhaps, and persecution, your testimonies, he said, also are my delight and my counselors. This is the attitude of a heart that is changed by God's word, the written word, because he's been changed by him who is the word become flesh, who has dwelt among us, whose glory we have beheld. Glory is the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. The only reason we are given new hearts, of course, that have such desires and hold to the King of Kings even in the midst of persecution. The only reason we have this is because it is Jesus himself who said all these words in his heart constantly. His Father indeed dealt with him bountifully, as we have seen in Isaiah 53, giving him a seed, giving him joy in prospect. He went to the cross, despising the shame for the joy set before him. His eyes were open. He saw wondrous things. He was surely a stranger in the earth. He came to his own, and his own received him not. We see in John chapter 1, verse 11. But God did not hide his commands. Our Savior had his soul breaking with longing for his Father's judgments all the time. He saw the rebuke laid down upon the proud who strayed from God's commands. Reproach and contempt were poured upon him by Sadducees and Pharisees and the Romans. And the reproach and contempt have been poured out upon him since. But it was all removed. All removed at his resurrection. The princes sat and spoke against him, from Herod and Pilate to all sorts of people since. But he continues in God's statutes. He continues now as the prophet, priest, and king. It's because of him. His life lived for us. His death died for us. His resurrection, making our victory, it's because of all that, that we can say these words and trust that when we plead for bountiful dealing, when we plead for open eyes, when we beg for the knowledge and the way of God's commandments, when we talk about our soul breaking with longing, we're assured that those who hunger and thirst for righteousness shall be filled. We know that even in the midst of difficulty, God will uphold us and he will make his word to be delightful to us and counsel us. We have the assurance that all this is true because it's accomplished by the one of whom these words speak, the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, let's sing from this portion. Now, I said we'd do our ABGs if we were Hebrew or Greek, but we're not. We're American. So we're going to sing 119C, not G.